It's my pleasure to introduce our next speaker, Dr. Selwyn Rogers, who is professor of surgery at, and chief of trauma at the University of Chicago. He's the founding director of the new trauma center at the University of Chicago on the south side of Chicago. Dr. Rogers, welcome. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Stewart. So I have no disclosures. I want to thank all of you for coming out this afternoon. I hope we have a few minutes for questions at the end and interaction. I have one disclaimer. I am African-American. Now, that may be obvious to everyone in the room. but I thought I'll start with that obvious fact, some of the things I'm about to share. So I'm going to try to, in the next 10 minutes or so, review the interaction of gun violence and structural violence. And structural violence may be a term that many in the room may or may not be familiar with, so I'll spend a few minutes defining it. Dr. Kuhl's already reviewed epidemiology of gun violence in the United States, where two-thirds of suicides are being committed by firearms and with a one-third being homicides. And my comments focus on homicides. Largely, we spend a lot of attention because of the nature of mass shootings upon this topic. And certainly this year was dominated by the students at Stoneham High School and the tragic loss of lives. But if you look at the broader definition of what violence is the intentional use of physical force or power, threatened or actual against oneself or another person or against a group or community that either results in or has a high likelihood of resulting in injury, death, psychological harm, maladevelopment, or deprivation. And using this broader definition of violence by the World Health Organization, we live in a very violent society. Johann Goltaug in 1969 defined structural violence as ways that our social arrangements, be it governments, economies, religions, and other structures, put individuals and populations in harm's way. And that's the topic of the next 10 minutes. This is a face of intentional interpersonal violence in the United States. It's largely the face of African Americans and Hispanic Americans in many of the communities that we live and work in. Gun fatalities by race in the United States is largely a problem of African Americans, with 82% of blacks suffering compared to gun violence by suicide. And compared to in white Americans, this is data from the Brookings Institute, with 23% of homicides being the population of white compared to 77% suicides. What's striking about that is 57% of gun homicide victims are black, with black men being 10 times more likely to be shot and killed than white men. And black women are more than 3 times more likely to be shot and killed than white women. This is following up on the comments by Dr. Sims on intimate partner violence. 93% of gun suicide victims, however, are white, with white men being 3 times more likely to shoot and kill themselves than black men. White women, surprisingly, is also 4 times more likely than black women. In my new adopted city of Chicago, it's actually a very interesting inverse map, where if you look at the darker shaded areas, where there are higher rates of suicide on the left-hand side of the slide. That's in contrast to the communities in which the homicide rates are higher, which is largely in the western and southern parts of the city of Chicago. If I ask anyone to jot this equation down and solve it, I'll give you guys 5 minutes. No, I won't. But it's not solvable, because it's actually not an equation. It doesn't add up. 85 is average life expectancy in the Loop in Chicago. 69 is average life expectancy in Washington Park, which is a quarter of a mile from the University of Chicago. 16 years of life lived separates an 8-mile distance. The parentheses represents a geography of 7 stops in the L train. It's remarkable in a very vibrant city like Chicago. And also, if you look at the city of Boston, very short distances of geography, you can find outstanding life expectancy today. In the Loop of Chicago, 85 years of age is average life expectancy. and towards west in Garland Park at 72 South 69. It's really striking. And those realities in terms of life expectancy are marked by economic hardship indexes, where the west and south parts of the city of Chicago are markedly economically more at risk. Similarly, with a higher rate of unemployment in sections of the city that are west and south in Chicago. And these are also the same settings that have the highest rates of gun violence. If you look at this map of the almost 2,400 shootings thus far in Chicago, they're concentrated in the west and south parts of the city of Chicago. Significantly, income inequality is also linked with violent crime. If you look across the United States, the higher counties with income inequality have the highest rates of violent crime. And as a computational modeler, former member of my group, Gary Ahn, who's now in Vermont, looks at this issue of the intersection of violence. It's not simply the issue of guns, but if you look upstream, there's the impact of racism in terms of segregation, educational disparities, and economic outlook upon individuals and upon communities with the interaction of the criminal justice system. So violence is an intersection of opportunity, people, and place, where disconnected communities, damaged social networks, deteriorating environments, and intergenerational poverty lead to the outcome of violence and trauma. Dr. Brett Poyana and Zacherson, in an editorial 2 years ago, equated gun violence to structural violence. And it's an interesting statement that we need to start addressing when we look upstream to the factors that contribute to gun violence. We often focus on the middle part in terms of EMS, operating room care, ICU care, in terms of what happens after someone's shot, and somewhat about rehabilitation and recovery, but we hardly really discuss built environment or lived experiences that contribute to the outcome of violence. And certainly, equity is not a focus just of health system, but it's all parts of our institutions, education, justice, economic development, social services in partnership with community. And it's really the intersection of all of those that will ultimately lead to improved outcomes for all Americans with respect to this issue of gun violence. So I want to thank you and look forward to the discussion.